The American news media has been almost totally silent on what Congress and the U.S. President did in the legislation called Public Law 97-280. Only negative opinions on it have been allowed in the press, primarily news articles about the left-wing organizations which have filed lawsuits to repeal it or to have it declared unconstitutional. The newspapers won't even tell you what the law says, only that so-and-so is opposed to it. What they are concealing from you is not a statement by a minister, not a proclamation by a church or even a denomination, but an official act of the United States of America passed into law, Public Law 97-280. Why have they concealed Public Law 97-280 from you? Well, you stay tuned to this broadcast and also write me for our Year of the Bible Literature packet, and you will see why the liberals, the left wing, and the anti-Bible organizations literally hate and despise Public Law 97-280. I read the entire law in part one of this three-part series, so I won't read it all again. However, in a few moments I will read a few phrases from it again to refresh your memory, and then I will read my own commentary on the law, which should help you see why Pastor Emery is saying this law is the most scriptural law to be passed by the United States Congress since 1776. I am absolutely convinced that Public Law 97-280, the resolution which set up the Year of the Bible, is the most important law passed by Congress in 200 years. We have already distributed way over 50,000 copies of the law and my commentary on it. We would just love to distribute 500,000 to Americans who love the Bible and America. I wish millions could read a United States law which, if understood and implemented, would make it legal to pray in public schools, to teach the Bible in public schools, and might even make it possible to prosecute as lawbreakers those who would attempt to prevent the American people from studying and applying the teachings of the Holy Scripture. Almost three millenniums ago, that is 3,000 years ago, wise King Solomon prayed to God Almighty about God's people. His prayer is recorded, and it is a very long prayer, and you should read it all, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7. Probably half of the Christians in America are familiar with one verse of God's answer to Solomon's prayer, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Where God promised Solomon that he, God Almighty, would hear the prayers of his repentant people and heal their land. Here it is, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Many ministers, and I am one of them, believe the people called by God's name are the Christians, and this promise of healing the land can be claimed by the people of America for America. If we will do what God says we must do, humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways, God will hear our prayers and will heal our land. I believe 2 Chronicles 7:14 is as true as is John 3:16. In John, we read the promise of individual deliverance. In 2 Chronicles, we read the promise of a deliverance of a nation. Same God, same Word, same immutable promise, sealed by the same blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you will read that verse over several times, you will realize it is not a call for repentance by the Antichrist. Many Christians make the mistake that God calls for repentance of the unbelievers before he will heal a Christian land. No, this is a call for repentance of the people called by God's name. Christians, if the Christians repent, God will remove the Antichrist from the land. It is possible this resolution we are discussing on these broadcasts is a sign of that future probability. Paul wrote in Romans 15, and this is in the New Testament, so every New Testament Christian should believe it, Romans 15 and verse 8, Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a promise made unto one of the Israel fathers, King Solomon. And Romans 15:8 says Jesus Christ confirmed or made certain just such promises. So there is no argument but that God will honor his promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and heal our land if, and that is the first word in that promise, if we were to do what God says we have to do first, repent and change our ways, and I repeat, that call is not for the Antichrist and the unbeliever. That call is to those who are called by the name of Christ. Public Law 97-280 is as near a call for national repentance as anything that has come from America's civil leaders in 200 years. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 calls for national repentance. Listen to these phrases in Public Law 97-280, a law that was passed by Congress and signed by the President in October of 1982, a law about which the news media has been almost totally silent. The first paragraph calls the Bible, quote, the Word of God. The fourth paragraph endorses President Jackson's statement that the Bible, quote, is the rock on which our republic rests. The fifth paragraph says our history clearly illustrates the value of applying the teachings of the Scriptures. Yes, this is in a law passed by Congress and signed by the President in 1982. No wonder the liberal and largely non-Christian news media has not reprinted it in their newspapers or shown it to you on television. The sixth paragraph says our nation faces great challenges that will test this nation as it has never been tested before. What is that? That is an official recognition by the Congress of a coming national peril. The seventh paragraph says that, quote, renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through the Holy Scripture can strengthen us as a nation and a people, end of quote. That is Congress, your government, writing a law which says, reading the Bible can strengthen America. No clergyman could have said it better. Isn't that something? For 100 years, the atheists and the Antichrist have spent their time, their money, and their cunning attempting to convince Americans that the Bible is a collection of myths, that it is old-fashioned, or at least of little use in this modern age. They worked tirelessly to get the Bible banned from the American public schools and succeeded. They were then successful in forcing atheistic evolution to be taught in all American schools and have ridiculed the Bible story of creation until even Christians have begun to doubt it. They have spent millions to get court decisions to get the Bible out of all of American public life. They have made hundreds of movies which portray Bible-reading people as ignorant fools or wicked criminals. They infiltrated our seminaries and convinced new preachers not to use the first three quarters of the Word of God and to explain away most of the last one quarter. They use these same ministers to teach their Christian flocks not to get involved in government, that God and the Bible had little or nothing to do with politics and government. They have been so successful with their anti-Bible propaganda that by the time our children reach college age, 90% of them have no Christian church affiliation at all, and many of them are professing agnostics or atheists. They have convinced almost two generations of our people that America is not now nor never was a Christian nation. They have almost consigned God Almighty and His Word to the ash can of history. They almost destroyed the ability of the American people to use God's law for the peaceful ordering of our society. Just when it really begins to look as if they have dealt Christianity in America a death blow, here comes the representatives of the people of this nation, the men who speak for America through the law, and they pass a law that says, quote, renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through the Holy Scripture can strengthen us as a nation and as a people. Then, to notify the world and the atheist and the Antichrist of what they have said about the Bible, they ended Public Law 97-280 by asking the President of the United States to proclaim 1983 as the year of the Bible in recognition of, quote, our national need, yes, need, our national need to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, end of quote. Yes, Congress, the United States Congress, says America has a need to study and apply the Bible, the book which they call the Word of God and Holy Scripture. What a blow to the anti-Bible people. What a rebuke to those who have worked so long and so hard, some all of their lives, to try to convince us that the Bible is only fable and tradition and perhaps a few moral stories. The United States of America has issued a formal legal statement signed by its chief executive that says the government of the United States acknowledges that the Bible is the Word of God and that learning and applying its teachings can be of benefit to the nation. What can the fools who say in their heart that there is no God say? With this one document, the Congress of the United States has consigned to the ash can every argument ever made in America against the Holy Bible. No wonder you atheists, antichrists, and fools have been calling meetings and filing lawsuits against this law and trying to prevent the American people from knowing Congress even passed it. This one act of the U.S. Congress, if generally applied throughout the nation, could destroy all the vicious work the antichrists have done against God's holy word. No wonder the atheists and the antichrists are gnashing their teeth. One member of the local American Civil Liberties Union here in Arizona was almost in tears on a radio talk show some weeks ago over this. He said this was the most terrible thing Congress had ever done. From his point of view, it was. The ACLU, which is made up largely of atheists, agnostics, and anti-Christians, has spent millions of dollars in hundreds of lawsuits over the last half century to force the Bible out of American schools. Now the Congress has passed a law which, from any reasonable standpoint, could be interpreted to put the Bible right back in every public school in America. No wonder the ACLU supporters are filing lawsuits to force the repeal of Public Law 97-280. In fact, some of you people should ask some of the evangelists why they are still asking you for money to support them to get prayer back in the public schools when we already have a law on the books, Public Law 97-280, which can be used for that purpose. Now you've heard some of these marvelous phrases in Public Law 97-280 and some of my thoughts on it. I am now going to read my one-page commentary on it, the commentary we gave to the 250 congressional offices in April. You listen closely to this commentary on this resolution passed by Congress. You will see why those who hate the Word of God are gnashing their teeth. We have put a headline on it saying, quote, the government of the United States, by an act of Congress, has declared that the Bible is the Word of God and Holy Scripture. Then comes the body of the commentary. Quote, the lawmaking body of the United States of America, the United States Congress, has officially declared the Holy Bible to be the Word of God. Public Law 97-280 states that renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through the Holy Scriptures can strengthen us as a nation and a people. The Congress further found that the United States has a national need to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Congress said, the history of our nation clearly illustrates the value of voluntarily applying the teachings of the Scriptures in the lives of individuals, families, and societies. Therefore, disobedience to this law should be discouraged in our communities and in the nation at large. Under Public Law 97-280, any person or organization attempting in any way to prevent American citizens from voluntarily acquiring that knowledge of and faith in God through the Holy Scriptures would be attempting to weaken America. They would be guilty of trying to frustrate our national need to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Such actions would be in violation of the plain intent of Public Law 97-280 and would probably make the instigators guilty of sedition against the United States of America. Examples of disobedience to this law would be any attempt to ban the Bible from the public schools, to actively oppose any Bible study group, or to interfere in any way with a Christian church in its study and dissemination of the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Any interference with any mail-carrying Bible-related literature or with radio or TV broadcasts about the Bible would be in violation of this law. On the positive side, filling that national need to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures should become one of the goals of those in government at all levels. Public servants should take action in their own departments or under their own realm of authority to conform to Public Law 97-280. All elementary and high school principals, superintendents, and college presidents should be urged to take immediate steps to add courses of Bible study to the school's curriculum to bring them into conformity with the intent of the People's Congress. I am still reading from my commentary on Public Law 97-280, which we gave to the 250 congressional offices. Reading on. To strengthen our nation, courses of study of the Holy Scriptures should be made a part of every public and private school day. The people of the United States, through their elected representatives in the U.S. Congress, have spoken. Public Law 97-280, with its forthright declaration that the book, which tells the story of Jesus Christ, is the Word of God, and its positive statements about the benefits to our nation and to our people, which come from the Holy Scriptures, could be another significant step toward that day when every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. America, whether she at this time understands the full significance of this or not, has proclaimed to her own citizens and to the world that America's well-being depends on how well she knows and applies the teachings of the Holy Scripture. We should all pray that God Almighty will bless America by giving her elected representatives in Congress the wisdom and the ability to act faithfully upon their own words, as stated in Public Law 97-280. And then I close the commentary with, God will keep His covenants with His people through Jesus Christ. In next week's broadcast, we will read about the great revivals recorded in the Bible and how they all came after a call of repentance from the king. The priest did not turn ancient Israel. It was always the king. Evangelists go on nationwide TV all the time and call for repentance. Little or nothing happens. Can you imagine what would happen among the good people of this nation if the president were to go on national television and call America back to God and begin to issue edicts and recommend laws to destroy the work of the Antichrist in this nation? Those who hate the Bible are not really very afraid of ministers successfully calling the nation to repentance, but they very greatly fear the possibility of the government turning back to God. They greatly fear the government beginning to work for Christianity and for the Bible instead of against it. It is obvious they fear that more than they fear ministers, and that is the reason why they are actually trying to prevent you from even knowing that Public Law 97-280 was passed while they try to repeal it or have it declared unconstitutional. I believe Public Law 97-280 is a sign from God Almighty that He is preparing for great things among the people called by His name in America.